This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 1st of August, 1958. The title of this lecture is Case Analysis, Rock Hunting. This tape is 63 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Speaking of responsibility, I want these classes started on time. 4 minutes in clearing a man can be a matter of life and death, you know. Well, here we come to the 15th lecture of the 20th ACC, August the 1st, 1958. And today we take up that long-awaited subject. This is really the first lecture on, although you've had a lot of preludes, that long-awaited subject, case analysis, rock hunting. And because I haven't prepared any notes on this, probably be a very difficult lecture to follow, particularly if you're sitting in the middle of a rock. Begin with, the target of Dianetics was actually the rock. The rock is no new discovery. Colloquially, we say rock because it is a relatively unrestimulative word, and it does have some dramatic descriptiveness about it. I didn't really name it the rock. I spoke of the thing being like a rock and so forth, and people started calling it the rock, and it seemed to be very, very descriptive. It's seldom that a rock is actually the rock. But I understand we've got as close to it as a lump of coal. Now, the target of Dianetics was basic. You must understand something about basic before you understand anything about the rock. The earliest incident containing pain and unconsciousness on any given subject chain of aberration was called basic on that chain. Let's see a chain of the fellow is burned hands, all right? Burned hands went back to a basic on the chain of burned hands. And then to each occasion of hand burning, he made a facsimile, or with each occasion of hand burning, he actually made a facsimile himself and added it to this chain of hand burns. So we have a very long chain of burned hands. You have to find the first time, theoretically, that his hand was burned in order to blow off the entire chain. If you do not find, as any Dianeticist can tell you, basic on a case, nothing moves very much. But if you don't find basic on the burned hands, you then have difficulty with these burned hand engrams. Now, an engram is a mental image picture of a moment of pain and unconsciousness. And an engram contains pain, unconsciousness, and at least 53 perceptions. No matter how badly this engram is scrambled, no matter how dispersed it is, reference perfect form, no matter how chipped apart it is, or how cloudy, or how black all these fragments now appear, how much of a cloud it now looks like, it nevertheless is a mental image picture containing pain and unconsciousness and 53, at least, perceptions. These 53 perceptions were speculation in 1951 as to exactly what they were. As a matter of fact, we made up some lists, and they turned out to be at least 53. There's kinetics as one that you wouldn't normally suspect as part of an engram. Individual climbs off an airplane. If you want to see kinetics at work as a perception, just have him look around and find something he could do. It's not a terribly good process, and if you do it, for heaven's sakes, flatten it, because you're liable to leave him in the apathy of that exact moment for a very long time. It doesn't just key out. He's on an airplane. You tell him, look around and find something he could do. And the next thing you know, he gets all the motion of the airplane. He can feel himself bouncing and jumping and being thrown against the cabin and thrown against the stewardess and so forth. And other incidentals to this age of flight, where airplanes are supposed to be the thing. You find himself picking all the military craft that's crashed with a commercial transport out of his lap and other things, you know. Now, he'll find also the gasp that he made and the actual noise and physical jolt and the odor of the cabin and all the perceptions, the color and so forth, when the right inboard engine went on much vaunted Esso gasoline. In other words, he's made a movie, a 3D mass movie of this thing. But if you compare an engram chain to a movie of how to burn a hand or how to ride airplanes, you will fall far short, because movies are not participatory. With what comfort can you sit there and watch the villain shoot innumerable heroes? You see, you can just sit there and you're just a spectator. Well, this is the eventual lot of somebody on an engram chain. Early on it, he's a participant. It's 3D. Color, video, sound, 90 girls, 90, see? He's right in there being Sultan. Getting his head chopped off, chopping off other people's heads, you know. After a while, he says, I wonder what I got this for. So he chews it up, you know, and these mental image pictures are not stored. He's actually creating them instantaneously at any given instant. That's what we know now for sure. I mean, we can prove it. His ability to see one matches his ability to mock up, of all things. So, this cloud he's wearing around his head is maybe a burned hand chain. Why isn't it around his hand? Oh, brother, he's no longer part of that chain. And up along the line, when you way up, if you're running something way up this burned hand chain, he's just a participant gone astray. There he sits way back watching it all happen. Doesn't affect him. There's agony, misery, degradation, overt acts, motivator sequences by the ton. All of these things are part of this chain. And he sees one of these facsimiles and he says, isn't it a pretty picture? This is called a detached personality, described by Sigmund Freud at the end of Lecture 28. He could not help them, not even vaguely. The chain has become too painful even for a Thetan. You see that? He's no longer a participant, he's a spectator. Beware these PCs that are spectators. They're just sitting way up the track, and they're looking at the bank, and it doesn't have anything to do with them. Nothing. They get exteriorized pictures of their bodies and so forth. But that, by the way, does not make a full-fledged spectator. Almost anybody running the track will see his body some way or another. By the way, an interesting thing in the papers, phrenologists, a religious cult, used to live in monasteries and other live in universities. these phrenologists have remarked something quite amazing, that every once in a while you walk in to a complete duplicate of yourself. A fellow be walking down the street, and he all of a sudden walks into a person who looks like him, dressed like him, is talking like him, is doing everything he's doing. Amazing. And this phenomenon has long been remarked and was even mentioned by Aristotle. Never occurred to them that we could give them the answer, so they have never come around, so they're still in the dark. Actually, the guy goes wham out of his body, sees his body in full color 3D, and said, it's another person like me, because the jerk is too stupid to realize he doesn't have a body at the moment he's looking. You got the idea? All right, there's long articles in the paper about this. This is a current phrenological craze about this. All right. Here we go, you see, up the chain, and a person's further and further from it. Actually, he's doing an exteriorization from an n-gram chain. Now, you should know that an individual can exteriorize from his foot. If you want a theta bop, somebody has hurt his foot, you just ask him about that foot, and you'll get a little theta bop. He's exteriorized from the foot. He's yo-yoing a little bit. An exteriorization is not stable. He's coming closer and further and closer and further, back and forth, back and forth, a little bit, enough to make your E-meter bop. That's exteriorization from a foot. Now, exteriorization from a whole body is something else. But it, again, merely gives you the bop. How about an exteriorization from a chain of n-grams, which he is persistently, constantly mocking up? Ah, yes, that too, because it's really a part of his anatomy. Of course, it's mental anatomy. But nevertheless, he can yo-yo and exteriorize out of a chain which he is now mocking up as no longer there and all chipped to pieces, but the chain, because he copied it in the first place and then refused all responsibility for it, is nevertheless there. There is an isness about this n-gram chain. You understand what I'm talking about with an n-gram chain now? Basic. The first time he ever hurt his hand, succeeding n-grams all contain hand injuries of one kind or another. And the later he goes on the chain, the more somatic shut off, the more spectator, the more it doesn't concern me, and the more a frizzle cloud of nothingness he sees when he inspects it. Do you see that? Of course, he's just going all to pieces as far as his hand is concerned, but here's this chain. And he just looks at the chain and he says, ah, bah. Why do we call it chain? Each n-gram's envisioned as a link locked into the last n-gram. To undo the chain, it is necessary to break that first facsimile. Hit that first facsimile and get it out. That one will erase. The rest of them will be dependent on the force of that first one. Now, as we go up this chain, we find some interesting manifestations. It doesn't so much look like a chain as a tree. And the basic, deepest root of the tree, or you might say the seed of the tree, is basic. But now, not only just n-grams add to it, but what we call secondaries, which are misemotional incidents. And these misemotional incidents can contain gobs of apathy, grief, fear, anger, antagonism, boredom, conservatism, and even enthusiasm. These secondaries are what spill out of Preclear's eyes and droop and drip off of his shoulders with sudden misemotional surges. It's all part of one of these chains containing pain and unconsciousness. And that secondary depends for its force utterly, we prove this time and time again in Dianetics, depends for its force utterly upon the physical pain and unconsciousness in the actual n-gram chain. That's a secondary. Means a misemotional experience which depends for its force upon the basically painful experience. In the absence of physical pain, there is no misemotion. All right. What else is there in this chain? There's also something called locks. These locks are analytically observed and inspected pictures. They are little incidents which contain the associative restimulators to the restimulators in that. Now, this individual has a whole chain of locks, and they have to do with hands. Only it's gone so awry that it's possibly the beautiful hands of women. You see, and he's got a whole lot of locks of beautiful hands. What makes that set of locks stay there? The secondaries? And the n-grams. Now, you start to run old ARC straight wire on somebody, you go through locks. But if you run long enough, you'll find yourself into secondaries. Inexplicably, sometimes pain first, but usually secondaries. And you'll find this individual all of a sudden saying, oh, boo-hoo-hoo. Yeah, what are you crying about? Well, the hands are so beautiful. Oh, yeah? They're so painful. And you run him a little bit further, and you'd find yourself plowing in through actual pain and unconsciousness. Now, if you could get the basic on that chain, you could erase the whole condemned chain. That was the theory. It's fact. It's factually true. But there are so many complexities to a livingness or a single life that to isolate these chains and then find the basics on those chains was actually, in our times way back when we were struggling along the line trying to beat this one out, particularly in the absence of E-meters, beyond the capabilities of the individual auditor. All he could do, really, was to either key them out, erase the worst ones, or, as I did first to clear people, get people confident of being able to confront a picture and its perceptions. Just work on a confidence attitude until he could last face the worst one without flinching. And then we could get basic. That's how I found this mechanism, and that's how basic came into view. Now, what is this thing called basic? It is the basic of all chains. You know, there might be basic on hands. There might be a basic on heads. There might be a basic on tanks. There might be a basic on soldiers. There might be a basic on civilization at large. Time he was ostracized and so forth. Each one of these things. But below all these things, there was some experience that softened him up and made him believe that he could be hurt. And that contained physical pain and unconsciousness and a certain type of experience. It contained all perceptions. And incidentally, because in those days, he was far better at mocking something up than he became later. Look at the interesting thing you have. You have an Abel Layton making a copy of an experience which was too excruciating even for him to confront. Wow! And every time he copies this thing again, or sees the copy again, he now feels that all he can do is chip it up. So therefore, when he mocks it up, he really chips it up. He breaks it up somehow or another, and he's mocking it up in a broken-up form. He can't any longer mock it up, but part of its tag and part of the thing he believes necessary is to mock it up exactly as it was, but he had terrific ability to mock this thing up. This thing is a killer. And that's basic. Any one of you were to view at this instant, while in a body, a facsimile made while you were a Thetan and felt very, very able and very strong and beefy, man, you just faint. You couldn't take it. You understand? It's just, it'd be wham. You know, it'd be big, tough, rough. Got that? Basic, however, erases if it can be reached. Now, basic has probably its own chain, but has on top of it the basics and all the chains of the basics of all engrams. And you will see this very complicated tree then growing from a single germ, and it is the reactive mind of the person. Now, there's one more thing in this reactive mind, and that is machinery. Out of all his pain and duress, and out of Thetan ability, and out of other things, he actually could mock up and then remove himself from the responsibility of having mocked up machines that did things. They did all kinds of things, as we'll go into in a moment. He assigned the making of pictures to these machines. Then all he mocked up was the machine. And then he lost the responsibility of mocking up the machine, and he might mock up machines that make machines. You understand that? So the apparatus which shuffles these pictures is also mocked up by the Thetan, and he mocks it up as apparatus. And when we say machinery, we mean machinery. It is not a cliche, not a coined word. It is not a label of one kind or another that we've just dreamed up. Every once in a while, some little girl who detests machinery will go through an HCA class or an HBA class, and come on,
I've just seen a machine,
you know. What am I doing? You know, I'm Dolly in this life, you know, and I'm not supposed to make machinery. What am I doing with a horrible, monstrous thing out there that shuffles out pictures every time I want pictures? It was a machine. Now, the machines can also break up. And sometimes you have an individual then who has not only got the whole bank busted up and is in some kind of a foggy dew around him, he's mocking it up, broken up, because that's the safe way to do. Why he keeps on mocking it up, you and I are solving. But not only does he keep it mocked up, but he keeps it mocked up brokenly. Not only can he mock up clean machinery, but also he continues to mock up broken machinery. Now, these things you have to know. He sometimes will mock up machines that break machines. He sometimes will mock up machines that break up pictures. All of this is composed of the perceptions, mass, energy, space, and time. The perceptions are part, really, of mass, energy, space, and time. Waves of sound and light and shift and motion and that sort of thing. Now, the entire composite of this busted up mess we know as the reactive mind. It acts without the consent of the person. He does not even have to look to act. What a nice thing to have. Truck runs down the street. You know what to do. You climb a lamppost. But then you've got a suppressor that keeps you from acting badly in public so you don't climb a lamppost. So the reactive mind tells you to climb a lamppost, not to climb a lamppost. The Thetan stands back and says, I wonder what makes me nervous. Now that he's doing it all himself is not a condemnation. And I get so sick of people saying, well, he's sick, but it's all in his head. Oh, no, come off of it. This is the most squirrel tail-chasing thing you ever saw. Ah, the guy's sick in his head. He's sick. You get the idea, I mean. You don't say, look, you stupid jerk, it's just your imagination. You can drive him into apathy that way. People do it with children all the time. They say, little boy keeps waking up and finds the room on fire. You know, he keeps waking up and finds the room on fire. And then when he's been awake for, really awake finally, but when he's sort of come up through it, he sees it as his own bedroom. Well, now the bug in all this, and the thing that made it really impossible, is the modern horror of dead bodies, which keeps an individual from realizing or remembering what he has been. Every case you see, really, out in the street, except one Apache I ran into one time, is a total amnesia case. This Apache could remember fighting U.S. cavalry with Geronimo, and he didn't think this was peculiar at all. He didn't think it was peculiar. Apache has a different idea of time than we do, a different definition. He hadn't been told that dead bodies were bad. Leave it to an Apache to love them. The lives of every person you run into go back, according to the E-meter, about 76 trillion years. Everybody you run into, this girl that says, I know nothing about machinery, you try to point out to her, now, the way you start your sewing machine, you see, is to put in the plug. Oh, I don't know anything about machinery. Yeah. If you wanted to challenge her and put her on an E-meter, you could prove to her she was wrong in making that statement. But she has every reason in the world to make that statement. It's true that she, quote, doesn't know anything about machinery if knowingness is merely an analytical availability of information. That the information is there is no reason to chop her up. If she can't get to it, let me assure you something. She cannot get to it. And as far as the mind and imagination is concerned, that which hurts, hurts. And some fellow who is busy rotting off the lower half of his body and can't find out why and is told by some medico. I have perfect license these days, by the way, to criticize medicine. I invented most of the techniques they're running on. Yeah, there's a book published in about 1870-something on the glandular system I wrote. Some of the wildest ideas in there you ever read. Fuel consumption, fuel conversion, thermal regulation, all this sort of thing, assigned principles of glands. I'm still wondering what it's all about. Now, the medico comes along and tries to alter things structurally. Structure does not monitor function. Function monitors structure. And if this individual conceives that he should climb lampposts every time he sees an auto or any kind of a car or truck or anything like that, and yet reactively must not climb a lamppost, every time he sees a woman he knows what to do, you run. What happens reactively? Well, you wind up in a torture chamber and are killed, of course, rather lingeringly. He knows this. He knows better than to accost a woman. He said hello to a lord's lady one time, and 5 years later he was still alive and they were letting him have it. But at the same time, analytically, you mustn't run away from woman because you get punished. His final answer to the situation of must do, can't do, must reach, can't reach, must withdraw, can't withdraw, his final answer is to just get rid of his legs. And how he cooperates with a medical doctor who wants to saw them off. I used to wonder sometime in camp, after battles, during moments of high strain and duress in army life and that sort of thing, when some soldier who wasn't badly injured would beg you to saw his arm off or beg you to saw his legs off. You'd say, but son, you're not hurt. It's just a scratch. There's a bone splintered there a little bit. We patch you up and you'll be, oh no, I'm afraid it'll infect and do this and that and so on. Please saw it off. Now, this isn't according to the historical novels you read, but they're not a good authority. There are people up here in Bathurstie Naval Hospital. That's the proper pronunciation of the word. That was the way they used to pronounce it, Bathurstie. So it must be Bathurstie Naval Hospital. There are people right up there lying in bed waiting to get their kidneys sawed out, even though they'll only live for a few months if they do. Lying there waiting for their spleens to be removed. There are patients who are furiously angry with doctors because they will not operate and remove large sections of intestine or something of the sort. The man doesn't know his business. Just as it is almost a criminal misdemeanor in the eyes of a psychiatrist not to give a patient an electric shock. Do you know it's against the law for a psychiatrist to refuse an electric shock when one is demanded? So it is with limbs. It's the patient who is demanding that. I can tell you from a large, long track of experience that you generally do what they want you to do. In the final analysis, tomorrow's medicine is what the public wants today. These people are trying to solve something, and they don't know what they're trying to solve. They haven't a clue what they're trying to solve, but they're trying to solve something. And there are various ways of solving it, various ways of solution. One is to have no kidneys, another is to have no head, you know? But it usually adds up to know something. You got the idea? We're trying to make nothing out of something. It's a common denominator in most of these things. They're so confused, they've completely lost track of what they are doing and why they're doing it. The decay and chip apart of an engram, which brings about the final manifestation of field. You tell this person to close his eyes, and what is he looking at? He says a black swirling mass or a black still mass. And so what? You're just looking at the residue from a chipped up picture. That's all. It has no other significance than that. And he is trying to get at something that is doing something to something, and when you as a Scientologist add up the number of factors that can appear in a case, you see what this individual's up against, because there's another one on top of it. Everybody always expected him to be bright. Nobody, very few people ever admired him for being dumb. So he never got dumbness as is. And he's just getting stupider and stupider and stupider about the whole thing. And it's more complex. And it goes this way and it goes that way. And the little levers go the other way. And the thing chips up and goes some other way. And he'll come up with some horribly upset solution that is nevertheless better than no solution at all. And his stable datum will get to be such a thing as everybody's a crook. Now I understand people. Everybody is a crook. Now I understand traps. Everything is a trap. Now I understand farmers. Everybody is really a farmer. Get the idea? Now I understand military services. All soldiers are rapists. Now I understand men. They're all alike. Now, that isn't a solution. Now I understand they aren't. Now, you hold on to this kind of a solution, and you as an auditor get in there and say, what the hell is going on? Yes, whatever, they aren't. Yeah, but whatever what? Oh, I don't know. Yeah, but which way are you trying to go? Nowhere. If I just sit here quietly and keep my mouth shut, do not reach, do not permit myself to be reached, don't try to withdraw. I got made. I hope. You get all sorts of things. Always use a side entrance because you could make such a grand exit up the front staircase because of the footman. Because everybody are footmen, please call the butler. Chain of reactive computations all smothered with the parts connecting missing every time the individual goes to call on anybody. And it's so burdensome. All of this thing happening every time he goes to call on somebody, he stops calling on people, see? So the final solution is don't. The final solution is not. You get the idea? But with all this not and don't, you've still got fully alive and ready to be activated any and every part of this reactive mind. You got that? Now, please look at what you're working with, and in the light of that, understand what I'm now going to tell you about rock hunting. If I don't end this lecture on time, if I go into the second hour, it'll be worth it, I think. Let's look at this subject called rock hunting. Rock, one on a case, is desirable. It is basic, basic. All you have to do with a misidentification, to locate the misidentifications which are basic, basic on this case. That's all you have to do. Because it isn't adding to anything. It is. All things add to it. Now look, I've talked to you enough about meters. I'll level with you. An additive needle is not a rising needle. When you go rock hunting, the mechanism is that the needle goes up and it looks like a rise, but an additive needle is an analytic term. This is an analysis term. Now, we are not describing manifestations of the meter. We assume that you know those. Now, let's talk about meaningful movements of that. Additive is an analytic term by which you analyze whether or not you've got a rock. You add the same sort of thing on top of it to see if they add and make the needle rise. An additive needle is turned on purpose. It is a rising needle as far as technical motion is concerned. But look, it is not just a rising needle. Do you understand that? It's a diagnostic needle that the auditor turns on. He thinks he has a basic of some kind or another. He's got the rock, he thinks. Let's prove it. Now, the way he proves it is, one, does it stick and arrest the rising sweep of the needle? Does it kill that rise? Now, we've gotten rid of rise. Now, don't get rid of rise so thoroughly that you don't want it, the needle ever to go up again. It's going to go up when you get into processing. You're going to see that rising needle happen. Otherwise, how in the name of common sense will he ever make any ground to drop through? When you process this with help, it is going to rise and rise and rise for maybe an hour or two. And then all of a sudden it goes drop, and then rise. Not so far this time. And then drop. That's just the action of a tone arm while processing. We're not talking about processing here. We're talking about rock hunting. Now, up we go with additive needle. How do you make a needle become an additive needle? If you've got the rock, then things you dream up which are similar to it will add on to it, and nothing else will. Got this? Now, a sudden fall of the needle, we call this just a fall, becomes a drop, additive drop, when it blows a lock off of the rock. Got this? That's a drop, an additive and a drop. Now, someone were doing real clean work on this, he'd probably call it a subtractive needle. Because it is the rock that you're adding to and subtracting from. Now you are no longer working with the idle spin-about random motions of an E-meter. You're at cause point on this meter. You've located something, you consider the rock, you prove it out. How do you prove it out? You make things add to it and you make things subtract from it. It's just like arithmetic. Except arithmetic hasn't any real basic purpose. Let's say, give you an example. We got a PC. He's in there, and he's sitting there, and the needle's rising and rising and falling and sticking here and doing this and doing that. And he's saying, ouch, and he's saying, I wonder where I am going because I am not going any place, and if I could just get out of this, I could get into it better. You know, standard orderly frame of mind. And the needle reflects what he's wondering about and speculating about and which way it's going and which way it isn't going and so forth, and it's just doing a bunch of randomness. Now, you could sit there as a spectator to the end of your days without doing anything as an auditor, and you'd still have this needle motion. It's as true in analyzing a case as it is in running one. You, the auditor, have to take charge. You can no longer be just a spectator. And in rock hunting, as in nowhere else, do you have to take charge. Now, you're trained basically to obey the auditor's code and not to evaluate for the pre-clear. The first time you learn you have to get out of this rut's when you become an instructor. Always evaluate for the student. Never fail to invalidate the student's wrong data. Never fail to invalidate it. Don't let him go walking around in a fog believing something wrong. Now, that's the role of an instructor, and it's exactly reverse to the auditor's code. Instructor's code, auditor's code, they're two entirely different things. Now, you're more or less working on an instructor's code when you were doing rock hunting. Never fail to evaluate. Let him have it. Work him over. Just like we used to do way back when, you always did an exploratory to find if the guy had a bullet in him who didn't have x-ray machines. Sounds kind of grim, doesn't it? Is it better to let that bullet sit in his guts and rot, finally kill him with gangrene? No, it's better to make a little slit and stick your fingers in there and see if you can find the lead. Much better, let me assure you. Later on, we got very modern. We decided to wash our hands first. And perhaps even what we're doing now, we will learn how to wash our hands. But the thing to do now is to find that bullet, not to find it cleanly or to find it smoothly. You understand? But to find it. And if that means that there's such a thing as you stalling up the case and sending it appetite over tin cup in some fashion because of some factor you or we do not know about yet, then that's just too doggone bad. Do you understand? So the first foremost thing is guts. You got to have nerve. And you have to take charge, and you have to add things onto the case and subtract things off the case. It's just like you sitting there saying to the fellow, I know what's wrong with you, you're homosexual. You know, you wouldn't do this to a preclear, would you? No, you wouldn't do that to a preclear. Maybe he is one, but you wouldn't do that to him. Oh, no. Well, if you preserve this kind of a diffident attitude while you're rock hunting, you'll have had it. We must avoid homosexuals because it'll hurt his feelings. Oh, no, we got an entirely reverse look when we're doing rock hunting. We say, what'll hurt his feelings but good? Where's the bullet? So we look for those buttons. You got it? I was auditing a preclear one day that had a history of lesbianism. And I learned this lesson but good. He was very sensitive about it and wanted to get over it. I knew this. I knew that this was a broken up case. I mean, the person was in bad shape. It's very spinny. And I wasn't hunting rocks. I was being an auditor. I was hunting rocks, but I didn't realize to the degree I was being an auditor. And do you know, for about 25 minutes, I left that whole subject alone. Just as clean as anything, I just left it alone. A good auditor would never mention it. Now, having to shift valences in the middle of the stream is quite interesting. You all of a sudden are going to evaluate for people. You're going to pound them in. You're going to knock their buttons flat. You're going to re-stimulate them. You're going to chew them up. You're going to get this case messed up one way or the other and find out what it's all about. And be sure you found out. That's quite a shift from healing the case and taking care of them. It's like the medico, in trying to get the bullet out, has four loblolly boys holding the patient down and was screaming at high C, and he says, God damn it, sit still. You understand the duress of the moment brings about the reaction. Now, maybe later on he'll be able to slap an anesthetic mass over his face and lose about 75% more patients this way. You don't have to add the unconsciousness on. They're better off if they never go unconscious, as you can understand with engrams. We were more right in the 17th century than in the 19th. You sit on his head and get the bullet out. And then afterwards, you're a good nurse. You're gentle as you sew him up. You speak to him in a friendly fashion. You make sure he gets some good chow. You understand?
Yes.
All right, so you sit on his head and get the rock, and then you pat him on the shoulder, patch up all the ARC breaks and roll. As an auditor, so you're two different individuals, and the main trouble most of you are having are shifting gears. It looks sometimes to your instructor or the director of processing like you're missing in nerve when you won't dive. That's sometimes the way it looks to them. But I know what it is. You're too well trained in mercy. You've got this individual sitting there as I had this lesbian. And at the end of 25 minutes, I suddenly realized that I was being awfully nice. And I was getting nowhere. Take me 25 minutes to find a rock? Am I slipping? So I just broke out my Scientological scalpel. And I said, women are nice, aren't they? Particularly in bed. Wild needle slams and so forth. First lock of the rock that came off of that case was being in charge way, way back on the track as the high priestess of the Vestal Virgins, who weren't virgin anymore. For which she was quietly and lengthily cooked over a slow fire. And which was making her avoid being a housewife because housewives have to cook. One of the innumerable computations that came up for this case. When I made up my mind to get in there and pitch, when I made up my mind to sharpen it up and slice, I got it. And let's say about the only thing that is between the pre-clear and his rock is not knowingness and stupidity. That's really the only thing between the pre-clear and his rock. Well, I'll tell you the only thing that's between the auditor and the rock. Diffidence. Politeness. Feeling he mustn't invade somebody else's privacy. Avoiding the obvious because it wouldn't quite be nice. Refusing to evaluate for the pre-clear. Lord, it's certainly head-on evaluation when you say, a lie factory. Couldn't it? You see? How about a lie factory? What are you telling him? You tell him, I think you're a liar. How about some guy you got on the needle like I had couple of times in the last couple of days. And I said, an answer factory. I was really chopping him down, wasn't it? He was giving me very glib answers to everything I said, so I just said, an answer factory. Well, the funny part of it is, if you're really going for broke, it's an odd thing, but they never resent it. If you're forthright and are doing your job, the only thing they resent is when you don't do your job. So if you're trying to preserve the good opinion of the pre-clear where you or the auditor are concerned, you have only one thing to worry about. Do your job. That's what the pre-clear wants, really and basically, and what keeps him in session. And the longer you lallygag around it, and the nicer you are, and the slower you are, and the dumber you are about getting in there and pitch, why, the more upset the pre-clear will become. So a fast, tight, short, close, bang approach is much better. All right, let's say that we've got this individual on the meter. We're sitting there, and the thing is rising, 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 and we say an experimental robot, a spaceship, something of this sort, you know. We look at him first. We wouldn't do this if he had a rising, rising needle. If he just had a plain needle, we would ask him, what would reach people? And he comes up with a lot of computations of what would reach people. We finally get a halt on the meter of one kind or another. It's a straight, simple case. I'm now going to give you a tough case. See? We got to rise, 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 rise. No matter what we say, that damn needle just keeps on coming up. You finally feel like getting in the case yourself and holding the needle down. No matter what you say, it rises. We finally get him on something. We are finally getting real smart. And we say, a woman collector. And the needle goes, boom. You say, what? Look at this thing. Woman collector, huh? Well, believe me, that must be awfully late on the track, don't you see? But nevertheless, you've got a collector of some kind or another. And you look at this. Now, how do you know if it's it? It's just now sitting there quietly, and it's swinging through maybe an inch of arc. And it's coming up, and it's sticking, and then it's kind of falling off, kind of sluggish, and it's coming up and sticking. You didn't get a good, clean stick. It just stopped rising. Well, boy, that's good enough. One of the first things you do, and don't let me catch you not doing it, is write it down on a piece of paper, the first thing that made it stick. Now, about the first thing you examine about it, does he know anything about it? That's what you look at. He's being very glib about a woman collector. You get suspicious of it, merely because he seems to be so glib and knowing about the whole thing. Of course, circuits do protect themselves, and glibness can be a form of protection, but they usually say, duh. You know, the guy's sitting in a chair, and you say, a chair stacker. And the guy says, a what? And you say, a chair stacker. What would a chair stacker be? That's one of the reasons you ask him to keep describing what these things would be, is to get his not-knowingness reaction. It's the first thing you've got. First, you got this stuck. You finally got a stuck, and then you got a not-knowingness reaction. Boy, that's awful good. But don't worry about the not-knowingness reaction if you didn't get it. Go right on and test this thing called woman collector. You know how to test it? Darn few of you do. But let's take a look at this thing. Let's add on women late on the track, right around present time, that you dream up. Then we can be sure they're not locks on the case. Sometimes you get kind of telepathic and as is some. Don't worry about that. It's the aggregate dream up and what it does. Add some women. And then you get an additive needle. And as long as you add some women that you dream up to the case, you say, now, nice tall blondes with fur headdresses and nothing else on. See? He's never met such a girl in this lifetime. They wear feather headdresses, everybody knows. Or what century is this? And now again, you've got the needle starting up slightly, but it's an additive needle. It isn't the old rise, you see. You added something on, see. So, you say, a green woman, bright green, with ruby eyes. Once in a while, you miss. You kind of pick it up out of his bank, and you'll blow one. But that's really a miss if you're trying for an additive needle. And it goes up just a little bit more. In other words, you dream up things similar or additive to what he'd have there that you stopped the needle with. You got it? Now, you just do this on an evaluation. Bang, 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 bang. You see, you just say it's this, it's that, so on. How about this? Wouldn't you like that? Doesn't this seem this way and that to you? You know? Once in a while, it can get real tough. You'll slam one at the pre-clear, and it'll really not be so much a dream-up as straight on his case, and the pre-clear just goes, boom! You know? Duh! Oh, boy, that's an indicative situation. Now, you blow one accidentally or on purpose. Now, as this needle rises, your question is this. Does it rise only to the degree that, and only as long as, you add things to it? Now, you could blow the needle this way. You could say, do you recall the tall, naked blonde with the fur headdress? Now, if it's a real tough rock chain, It might not blow, but occasionally that itself will blow off of the rock chain. You put one on, you blew the same one off. Now, the green woman with the ruby eyes, you can blow that one off the chain. Now, that's just one way of blowing down the thing, getting a drop, being subtractive. The most reliable way, now you added to it, and it only went up to the degree that you added to it, and it still stuck. You got it? It didn't begin this rise again, see? You went around in back of the thing, and you decided to pull it down. One of the most reliable ways of doing it, let's say it was a woman collector. Do you recall any women you've collected in this lifetime? Now, you've given him the computation, and you've now hung him with it by accusing him of having dramatized it.
You'd say, boy, this is the weirdest thing to do to anybody, you know? And you say, do you recall any women you collected in this lifetime? The fella says, oh, all of a sudden, yes. Boom! See? And it blew a lock off and then came back up and stuck. And you can just keep blowing locks off of this thing by recalling things in this lifetime. Do you understand? So when you, as the auditor, can subtract or add to the stuck needle at will, you must have the computation. Isn't that right? And that's proving one up. Now, supposing that one didn't prove up. Well, instead of collector, let's use the word consumer. These are standard words. A woman consumer. You can try any kind of wording. Female consumer might work much better than woman collector, symbols being what they are. Might work infinitely better. Do you see how it could? And so, you change your wording around and you keep plugging at the same general computation until you take each one of the words you used in the phrase, like woman collector, and very woman for a while, and then very collector for a while, and you may come up with a much better stuck. Anything you got up to that time, by the way, however, will work. That's what you should know, that it will work. Okay? You could run it. Needle stopped on woman collector? Just run woman collector. Oh, you're going to be a little bit wrong, and the case is going to run a few more hours than it would, and you'll be into a little trouble semantically, and you'll have trouble clearing the command. You get the idea. But nevertheless, you could do it. It would work. All right, you add to the needle and subtract from the needle. Now, I'm going to give you rapidly the four types of case. The first case is the simple case. Nothing to this case. It just sticks on an object. Now, you always run terminals. Never run the particles emanating from the terminal. Run the hand, not the weapon. Run the head, not the hand. You get the idea? The terminal which does the emanating or receiving or collecting or giving is always better than the line. Run terminals, not lines or conditions. That's always better. Someday you'll find yourself running a line and it'll work. All right, don't be surprised if you get into lots of trouble and it runs for a long time. Always prefer terminals. Now, on this simple case, you simply nail a terminal of one kind or another, and the needle sticks, and that's that. That's class one. Class two is the consumer case, the consumer factory case. This person is in a secondary condition. He is adding to and subtracting from the bank at such speed that you get odd consistencies of rise or fall. Now, you've never seen a constantly falling case, I'm sure. Not a constantly falling case, but they do exist. They're just obsessively falling. They're creeping down, 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 just as cases creep up, up, up. But it's a rarity. The one you'll mainly run into is obsessive rise, and it just keeps rising, 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 rising. You understand? Now, to stop that rise requires a type of consumer of something and a type of factory or a type of factory of something. Something is manufacturing or producing something, and or something is consuming something. One or the other are going to work and stop that needle. You got that? Now, the third kind is really the broken consumer, the broken factory case. The guy accumulates broken factories. You got that one. He's really a failed consumer case or a failed factory case. And the classes of things you ask on this particular one all had to do with things that are busted down and don't work anymore and so forth. The fourth kind of case is really not a kind of case. It's a condition of the meter where the individual is already stuck in the rock. He's already firmly stuck in the rock, and you're simply getting the stuck-free vacillations of PT. Those are the four kinds of cases, and the analysis of these four kinds of cases is handled in different ways. The first one, you simply think up of items, objects of one kind or another that could reach people. You ask him what could reach people. These items and objects could reach people. And then you stick the needle with those and you run whatever you get. The second kind of case, you get the factory or the consumer, the collector or the producer. You see, one of those things, making things or absorbing things. And you get the thing, and it may be just consumer, it may be just collector, just like that, you know. And that stops it. The last one rises much worse. Much worse. Much steadier, more stable, and so forth in its rise, more determined. It's a real vicious rise. And sometimes the needle is slamming. I've already run into one person in off the street whose needle was just always slamming. He bonged in the last condition of case, but he turned in to a third stage case as soon as the slam was gotten out of the road. Now, the last type of case is, of course, simply the type of case that is already in a rock and is reacting to the rock. Now, the way you handle that particular case, usually, if you don't know anything more about it and can't find out anything more about it, is to use connectedness to clean off the needle reaction or use another, mock up somebody who would be pleased with your condition, that sort of thing, and you clean up the needle manifestation and then analyze again for the rock. You got this? You can't lose on any one of these. There are many vagaries, there are many things to say, there are many things to challenge, and so forth. We haven't time at the moment to go into these things. So, let's take a momentary break, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.